All right, I want to greet you all this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's been a blessing to be here together with you all this morning already. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. God, we thank you for your light and your wisdom that you give to us. We just ask your blessing upon this time together. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us that wisdom, Father, that comes from above. Lord, fill us with your Spirit, God, that we might carry out your will and be a light to this world. Again, we thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right, like I said, it's already been a blessing to be here this morning. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 for a text. Chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Again in verse 4, I think. It says, "Great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. For even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. But we were afflicted on every side, conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comfort us by the coming of Titus." The reason I read that this morning is just to kind of lay a little foundation of what I want to talk about, and that is the difference between faith and religion, or faith and knowledge. Faith has to endure things that often contradict what is seen. Faith has to see through what is the present and see what is real. I want you to think about that. It sees through what is now that appears so real and has to see through that, past that, to see what truly is real. Often we are so overwhelmed with the situations around us, the things that are going on around us, the things that are happening to us, the things that we're going through. And our sight, our physical sight, or our physical being, is so easily convinced of what is going on right now that the purpose of that is so that we would lose focus on what is real. We go through this life and things happen to us. And it is so easy to get caught up in what happens to us or what we are going through or what we're doing. And we lose sight of what it is really all about or what is really real. We substitute what is real for so many things that are not real. That's why most of the teachings of the New Testament, the teachings of Jesus, a lot was mentioned today about non-resistance, the boys mentioned. A lot of that non-resistance, you know, we see what's real. When someone does something wrong to us, someone punches us or someone hits us or someone does us wrong, that seems so real to us that our person has been affronted Someone said something to us. Someone hurt us. And the faithless reaction to that is to see that that is what's real. And so we respond and try to fix that which we think is real. But faith lifts us above that to turn the other cheek. Much of the teachings of Jesus about his kingdom are an encouragement to see past the situation and to take the higher plane, the higher level, and that of faith. Many people ask us about Christianity. We can tell you, oh, it's this rule or that's rule, or it's doing this or doing that. But Christianity, in a nutshell, is Christ coming to bring his kingdom, which lifts us out of this world and puts us into another realm, right in the middle of this world. And that takes faith. Many of the boys were related again that to turn the other cheek. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world to retaliate to someone when they've done us wrong. And we may win the fight. And we may be justified in winning the fight. We may have a court case that no one could deny that we are the justified winner of the case. And so we pursue those things and win our case. But in reality, we've lost. Because we've just won in the losing battle. We've won in the battle on the side that loses the war. And so it appears temporarily that we're successful, but in reality, we just won on the losing side. And there's no gain in that. Our goal, and that's what Jesus' teachings are about, is to see past winning on the losing team and be willing to lose to be on the winning team. That's what faith is. And all the circumstances around us oftentimes are telling us something opposite about that. Paul talked about without. We are afflicted on every side. Conflicts without and fears within. You know, oftentimes we're taught that faith, that you just never have a doubt in your mind. Faith is, oh, I'm just so assured I'm going to heaven that everything's right. We're taught that. We're taught that faith is, I know that I'm right in the way I believe. I know that I'm right. And that passes off as a faith. But here, Paul was talking about having conflicts and fears within. His only hope was that Jesus has truly risen from the dead and he will conquer after all. But he had fears. You know, the more sure a person is that they're right, in most cases, you can be assured that they're wrong. Maybe not in theory, but in application. Most of the confidence that people have in their religion that they call faith is often what turns into hypocrisy and looking down your nose at everybody else that doesn't know what you know. It's the opposite of faith. Faith is being on the losing side most of the time. Faith is being on the getting beat up side most of the time. And just pressing on, knowing, hoping, through fears and trembling sometimes, that there is something out there better, that we are still choosing the higher road. We are choosing to be a part of the kingdom, even though we can't see it. But it's the real one. You know, I don't believe in Jesus because the Bible says so. I believe in the teachings that Jesus taught are higher than what's out there. The things that Jesus came to teach and live are not right just because they're written down in this book. They're right because what he says is right. And it's confusing sometimes and hard to see sometimes. But it's what's right. It's what's real. So what if we can win a battle? All of the great heroes in this world that have won wars and won battles and won cases have proved to be but mortal men and died anyway, no matter how victorious they were in this life. But those who have lost with the faith, the confidence, the trust that they're going to commit their lives to the Lord Jesus, not just their souls, but their lives. I said it before that, you know, it's one thing to be able to die for Jesus, but it's another thing just to live for Him every day. We want to be a martyr. I've seen so many people that just wanted to be a martyr for Jesus. Just go out and set the world on fire. Go move mountains to be a martyr for Jesus. Really paying a price to be a martyr. But they can't live for Him right where they are. They see all this excitement, but they can't just live for Him. I don't know how many times I've been to places. I've been, Lord, take me. I'm ready just to die. I don't want to live anymore. It would be so easy to have been a martyr in so many different situations and just die. It's hard just to live for Him. And that's what He calls us to do. He doesn't call us to be martyrs. He calls us to live for Him in whatever situation He allows. Paul, we're afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. These weren't crosses that he had created for himself. He was living for the Lord, wherever the Lord sent him, wherever the Lord called him. He wasn't just going out looking to find a way to be persecuted. He was able to live and work with people, with brethren, to be a part, right where he was. And he was sent out from there. No, I was just thinking a lot of the themes seem to be this morning on not just this morning, but our theme, our heart is the church. The idea of heaven, the kingdom of God, the bliss of the kingdom of heaven beginning right here. And all we're waiting for when we die is changing our address. That doesn't mean we're just all happy all the time and all giddy all the time. But we can love each other all the time. And we can be a part of that kingdom all the time. So many people are looking for the kingdom of God. Searching all over the place. Running here and there. Learning this, learning that. Thinking that it's just around the corner. But the kingdom of God is within us. It's right here. It's not knowing something new. It's not learning some great thing. It's within us. People look for all kinds of things to think that they can find. And it's right here all the time. If we think about even the singing this morning, I was just listening to it. You know what makes singing beautiful in a situation like that? You know, there's some people in there I know don't sing very well. Just pretty convinced of it. There are some people in there that do sing pretty well. I'm pretty convinced of that. But do you know what made it beautiful? It was because when they all blended their voices together, it works. That's where the beauty is. It's just like the church. There's people in the church that... Well, let's just pass on that. Then there's people in the church that we kind of look up to. But you know what makes it beautiful? It's not the individual knowing what he knows or thinking he knows what he knows. Nor is it the individual that's really just pulling his weight quietly. It's all together. That's the kingdom of God. We want to be superstars. We want to be the one that knows everything. We want to be different. We want to stand out. But you know, if someone would have stood out in the crowd here, wouldn't have looked too pretty, would it? Wouldn't have sounded too pretty, would it? What made it beautiful was the blending of the harmonies. The voices together. They have their different parts. You know, one's high, one's low. One goes up a little here, one goes a little there. But it all blends together. That's what makes it neat. That's what makes it beautiful. That's the way the church is. We get so caught up in what's not real, but it seems real. We get caught up in what appears to be important, and we miss what is real. That's what I want you to keep your focus on this morning. Look past the dark, rainy clouds, the lightning, the thunder, the wind blowing and howling. The sun is still shining. You just can't see it. The sun's still shining. But you'd never be able to tell it looking out at the weather. You know, when it's snowing and you can't even see 10 feet in your face, in front of your face, all you can think about is the snow. And that's what we perceive as real. But the sun is still shining. And that's what's really real. The weather comes and goes. The ability to see the sun comes and goes. But it just keeps going around and around. And that's the way it is with the Lord. All the situations around us, well, they have such an impact on us, affects us. We lose sight that the Lord is what's real. Really appreciated this song. Light After Darkness. I'm going to read it and I'm going to talk a little about it. Jesus said, you know, woe unto you when men speak well of you. And he said that rejoice in be exceeding glad when people cast your name out as evil. Say all manner of evil against you. You know, sometimes we hear things that people say, and it's so easy to begin to think, well, maybe they're right. Whenever someone says anything, the first thought that I have is that, wow, I believe them. I don't know how many times I've told you before, people have accused me of things, and it was 2 or 3 days before I realized, wait a minute, that I didn't do that. But it's so easy for us to be influenced even by what people say about us. We want to be open. We want to be able to hear. Some people are afraid to. They just will not hear. And they block everything out. And it doesn't affect them at all. But Paul was affected by fears. Conflicts with that. It affects us if we're honest, if we're true. We're going to be influenced by things around us. But when we keep pressing through it, some people are so afraid to hear anything wrong, to hear anything that's false, they isolate themselves. They're scared to death. They're going to be deceived. And so they build these walls around them so nobody can deceive them. That's why churches have schools, to make sure everything that they learn is only their doctrine. Because they're afraid. You know, oh, I'm not going to take a piece of Jehovah's Witness literature because I'll be deceived if I read it. Well, I could read that stuff all day long. Don't need to. Don't want to. If you have real faith and you're looking for real truth and real light, the world can't touch you. It's only when you begin to build little walls around yourself to try to protect yourself that you begin to deceive yourself. To be real is to be open to be hurt. To be true is to be open to be hurt, to be honest with yourself, is to be open to get beat up sometimes. Go through this world and its darkness. Light after darkness, gain after loss. Strength after weakness, crown after cross. You know, we all want the light, we want the strength, we want the crown, we want the gain. But we don't really want to go through the darkness, the loss, the weakness, or the cross. We've talked a lot about the cross. People don't have a clue what the cross is. It includes all of those things, weakness, loss. Sweet after bitter, hope after fears, home after wandering, praise after tears. You see, all of those bad things are what we're living now, if we're seeing what's real later. We're living in times where there is pain and there is suffering. There is hurt. There is bitter pills to swallow sometimes. But don't get engulfed by those things that are not real. They're not what is real. Sheaves after sowing, sun after rain, sight after mystery, peace after pain. We have to figure everything out. We have to have all the answers. Do you know, faith sometimes is mystified. You know, whenever we can figure God out, we don't need Him anymore. How long has it been since we've just been awed that all we could do, if we think about God, is, oh, there's a reason for that. Or, yeah, chapter and verse here says that's where we often go. Instead of, I have nothing to say. There's nothing to say. We're so wise that we've got it figured out so well that God doesn't awe us anymore. Joy after sorrow, calm after blast. Calm after a blast. I mean, we talked about bursting forth, and it was dramatic. It wasn't just wiggling out of a pair of handcuffs. It was boom. And here it's talking about a blast. You know, when I think of about a blast, I think of dynamite. And the power, if you've ever been around an explosion or something that exploded, you just feel, boom, just, you feel the power of that explosion. And if it's big enough, you can't even stand in front of it. It'll just knock you over if it doesn't kill you. It's powerful. And then comes calm. This is the battle we're in. Things that, I mean, the devil will throw things at you that'll feel like a bomb blowing up in your face. And it'll seem so real. But it's not what's real. Rest after weariness. Sweet rest at last. Weariness. You work all day. We can get a little glimpse of that. Working all day and just tired to the bone. And just to be able to sit down and rest. That's not what they're talking about here. There is a spiritual weariness we may go through that just, you don't even know if you can take another step or not. You don't even know if you care whether you take another step or not. You know, you get weary and there's nothing that matters except just wanting to sit down and rest. And it's the same thing spiritually too. Just almost being overwhelmed, being tired. Near after distant, gleam after gloom, love after loneliness, life after tomb. After long agony, rapture of bliss. Right was the pathway leading to this. We can choose a path and accept where it leads to. Or we can choose a destination and take the path that will lead us there. Whenever we choose to follow the Lord, His higher kingdom, it's not the path we would choose. But it's the path that will lead us there. So many times, like was mentioned, Brother Kevin mentioned after last weekend, after the children of Israel went up or didn't go up again or got defeated at Ai, he had asked for who would go, and some of them didn't want to go because they got defeated. But then a miracle happened. I don't remember the story. I can't remember it all. But then they were ready to go. And the Lord said, don't go. And they went anyway and got defeated. Just a step away, just a step off of faith. Told them to go, they didn't go. They got scolded. He told them not to go, and they did go. Doing the same things. That's where faith is. Faith, don't go when God says don't go. Faith says go when God says go. Religious zealousy goes whenever they think they ought to go. And don't hear God in it. After long agony, rapture of bliss, right was the pathway leading to this. May the Lord add His blessing.
Lord, what a
how The Savior and Prince of Heaven.
Yeah.